Despite knowing of the cases for so long, Flynn didn't correct or withdraw his report and allowed it to be printed, giving USRC published expert evidence to draw on in their continued denial of responsibility. Later, Flynn did say that he regretted that decision, but from his future behaviour, one can infer not too much. Flynn wasn't finished with the Orange Girls, despite his proclamation that their illnesses were only an infection. In July 1926, the month after USRC turned down Grace's attempt at a settlement, he finagled his way into examining Grace herself. The timing was probably a coincidence. Flynn, accompanied by another man who Grace did not know, took her blood and an X-ray. And when the results were in, Flynn pronounced with a smile, "Your blood picture is better than mine." "He told me," Grace later remembered, "I was in better health than he was, and there was nothing wrong with me." But that was not what Grace's body told her. The girls were all in dire straits that summer, notwithstanding Flynn's assertions of good health to Grace, Catherine, and Edna Hussman. Quinta MacDonald was still attending Dr. Kniff for her loosening teeth, and it was Kniff now who chose to make an appointment with the radium company. One morning during that summer of 1926, he met with the board of directors, including President Rhoda and an up-and-coming vice president called Clarence B. Lee, at the USRC headquarters in New York. Kniff was at his wits' end from trying to treat the women, and he now made the radium firm an offer he hoped they couldn't refuse. "If you will play ball with me," Kniff told the gathered executives, "I will play ball with you people. Get me a list, the names of the girls, and I will keep my mouth shut as long as I can. Quite a few cases will just die a natural death. I can hold these girls off for 4 or 5 years. There are my cards on the table. I have to be compensated somewhere." Kniff wasn't at his wit's end in sympathy for his patients, mind you, but because he wanted to be paid. Perhaps it was the Carlow settlements that had set him off. He was itching to be remunerated for all the free treatment he had given. "Took it all out of my own pocket," he now exclaimed in vexation. His appeal to the company for payment might have been fair enough. After all, their paint had caused the sicknesses for which he had treated the women. But this scheme he was now presenting, of lying to the girls, of letting them die in ignorance to protect the firm, went way beyond being paid what he was owed. All loyalty to the girls had vanished. "What is your proposition?" asked the executives, seemingly intrigued. "I told Mr. Rhoda I asked $10,000. I don't think I ask 1 cent too much." USRC gave due consideration to his offer. "Are you sure that all these girls will come to you?" "I believe now that the majority will come to me," Kniff replied, confident that the women saw him as a friend. "Would you tell them that your services were being paid for by the company?" "I won't tell them that I have any connection with you people," Kniff said with a smile. Perhaps encouraged by the positive way the meeting was unfolding, Kniff now made another suggestion. "If you people want me," he said, leaning forward on the boardroom desk to stress his point, "I can get up on the stand and testify. Do you believe this girl is troubled with radioactivity? I'd have to say no. I can say whatever I want to believe. The moon is made of blue cheese." You can make it go one way or the other, can you? Asked the executives. I could if I wanted to. That is, if I am working for you people. It is customary for experts to testify for the people who pay them.